Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Hi, this is Ashley Meyer with Prevent Connect, and today my colleagues are joining me, Sari Lipset and Abby Sims. Hello, Abby and Sari.
Hey.
Hi.
So today, Sari and Abby, we are going to talk about how to deal with a situation that I have been receiving a lot of feedback about and a lot of questions about, which has to do with our sexual health promotion and sexual violence prevention work with youth. And, you know, I've been to a lot of conferences and trainings and providing a lot of assistance and training around engaging youth. And ultimately, what comes up is a discussion about, okay, well, we're promoting sexual health in a lot of our sexual violence prevention work, of course. And there's a lot of resistance, or there are reports of a lot of resistance. So first, I wanted to find out about what you all have done in terms of sexual health promotion and sexual violence prevention with youth, and then how maybe we can overcome some of those challenges.
This is Sari, and I worked at a local rape crisis center where I was working as a rape prevention educator and did a lot of work with healthy sexuality, and we had a unit on respectful sexuality, so we would go into classrooms and talk about rape prevention and the correlation with healthy sexuality.
Mm-hmm. And Abby?
I did some of that, and I've also worked on projects with Planned Parenthood of Greater Los Angeles and California Family Health Council, specifically working with people that provide reproductive care to adolescents. Okay. And training them on the intersection of sexual violence and adolescent sexual health.
Well, so what were some of the challenges? Because I have a feeling they're going to echo some of the things I've been hearing recently from the audiences I've been speaking to.
We had some problems getting into certain school districts when talking about even rape prevention education, just certain school districts not feeling like they have a need to talk about these issues. So that was a barrier. And I worked in some religious communities that also had similar problems with us coming in and talking to their students about even healthy sexuality or healthy relationships, because, of course, these students already know what those things are and they don't need education on it.
And I also think that it's something we need to be careful of that we do to ourselves. For instance, I heard you saying sexual health promotion, and I think that's a really useful frame for prevention. Additionally, on a statewide level, people kind of put themselves in a role that they aren't really in. For instance, I know some of the respectful sexuality work and the work around consent, and I know that people who maybe work at a community-based agency would say, oh yes, that's what we do. And it's a good thing to say maybe to each other, but there's no need for someone to put themselves in a situation or a program to put itself in a situation where it is suddenly governed by a bunch of rules that don't necessarily apply to them because they are explicitly saying, oh, I'm doing sexual health education. Because if you identify your way, oh, I'm doing it in the public health way and I'm doing it in the violence prevention way of sexual health education, but there are also other ways. So there's that frame, but then there are some other. If you say those words, then another system can kick in. That means something very different. We're in California to California Ed Code. If you're doing anything around sexuality education, then that means you're doing sexuality education, which means that you are following all the rules put forth in the Ed Code that govern that education. It means including parental consent, active in California parental consent from every parent. So you can still say, we're doing rape prevention. Part of your rape prevention is promoting healthy relationships and healthy skills for negotiation and all those kinds of things. And we can kind of keep that in our minds. But I think it can inhibit people's programs when they start saying, oh, we do healthy sexuality in ways that it really doesn't have to.
Because barriers.
Who cares? Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. These barriers and who, like, you're not getting credit from anyone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you call it.
Right.
You know, call it what you're going to call it. What matters is the outcome.
And I think when you say that, Abby, who cares? To me, I hear, well, we care. We care. I had some conversations that I think are really relevant to this where people were saying, I mean, one person said, I feel devastated that I can't use my, you know, strong social justice language because it doesn't work with this, you know, school or population or this audience. But, you know, that's the core to my mission of my work and who I am as a social justice advocate. And you know, we had to talk about kind of the value of understanding the language and the terms of the community with which you're working. And, you know, for some people, they feel like, oh, but I'm not having integrity because I stand for this, and even they won't let me say that.
That relies on thinking that there's an actual, factual, real definition of some of these terms.
A lot
that's
of them are interchangeable.
Exactly.
And
these are all just frames. These are all just kind of guidelines how we see things. Is that the hill you want to die on? Is the hill you want to die on saying, I am not taking healthy sexuality out of the name of my presentation? If you're going to do the exact same thing. And I understand if some people really do feel like they have to compromise. And that's another issue. Years ago, I was doing TA with a program who was implementing a curriculum I was very familiar with. And the local chapter, I don't know if they have chapters or what it is, but like the local little Eagles Forum, which is Phyllis Schlafly's organization, figured out that they were doing this and got very, very upset because, and it wasn't rape, it wasn't sexual violence related only, it was a dating violence prevention curriculum, and got very upset because they felt like the curriculum, because it talked about power control, was A, somehow undermining traditional ideas of family, which I was not aware that traditional ideas of family
included power control
over other people and exerting that through violence and intimidation. But according
Clearly.
To Phyllis Schlafly in the Eagles Forum, it does include that. So it was, it wasn't, you know, they, so, and they wrote, and the Eagles Forum wrote a letter to the school district that this is unacceptable education and that this is something that parents should be doing. And like the way, if you want to keep your program, is the way to deal with that. Say, yes, we are totally doing healthy sexuality education and we're going to stick by that. And we're not going to, you know, because that's what we're doing. Or is it to say, actually, this isn't sex ed, which it isn't, because you're not talking about reproductive organs, what they look like and their functions. I mean,
yes. You are not.
That's not
right.
Part of RPE that I've ever seen, really. So we're doing because it's my political belief that people should have access, and it is my political belief that people should have access to accurate sexual health information, but that wasn't the program. They weren't,
mm-hmm.
That's not what they were doing. So to clarify with that community, we're not undermining anyone's values. We're talking about abusive relationships and preventing abusive relationships. And
which most people should be for.
Yes. Exactly.
Hopefully.
Exactly. So, and it does, and it didn't change the content of what they were doing. It just changed like the community relations portion
mm-hmm.
of it.
Well, Sari and I were talking earlier and we were talking about framing.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know who you're going in to talk to. What kind of words do they like to hear? Again, if it's education, you know, throw in some of that lingo. You know, be aware of who you're talking to and the kind of frame that they're going to want to hear from you. So, again, adapting to your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we all know this. I mean, when we're writing for a grant and the grant is coming from a youth development organization, we talk about the pro-social skills development and how we build assets in youth as part of our program. That's what they're interested in. It's not somehow not addressing what you do to not say that. But if I'm going to a different, if I'm getting a little bit of money from the city attorney's office or the local DA or something, I may not stress that as much. I may talk about the things that are more relevant, but I'm doing the same things. In all these things, we have a common objective, which is like to decrease tolerance for sexual violence
mm-hmm.
and to promote a culture of respect and justice. So I feel like as long as you can kind of like keep your eyes on the prize and that, yeah, you need to be a little bit nimble sometimes in helping people see where they fit in.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's wonderful. And I feel like from my conversations, I've heard people who will say to you both that I've tried all of that. I've tried it all. And they still think I am literally teaching children to have sex. So do you have any ideas for what those folks can do?
I mean, I think some people are going to just have that point of view, and you might, you know, have to look elsewhere for other kinds of youth programming and education. And then if you feel like there's even a sliver of hope, re-education is always part of the process. Mm-hmm. But for those that are really stuck in the mud about not wanting rape prevention education or any kind of programs like that, I think you have to look for other opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are limited dollars, and there's no need for any of us to spend our limited resources
convincing,
banging our head against a wall when there are probably people who we could partner with, and it would be beneficial to us and them, and that we would have a much better relationship.
And it's not going to make you feel good either doing this work to continually, you know, trying to convince someone who maybe is inconvincible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I would say, even though I know, and even though having done stuff around respectful sexuality, and even in my work, this, and even in separate work, doing things really about healthy sexuality, like really, really talking about reproductive health specifically,
mm-hmm.
if someone in an RP program said to me, oh, that's sex ed, I would say, no, it isn't, because it isn't. Even though there are those elements, but it really isn't sex ed. So if people are saying, and to help people make that clarify that for people, we're actually not doing sex
mm-hmm.
ed. We're doing sexual violence prevention.
Right.
And you don't have to, even though elements of what you do may seem like that to some people, it really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think all of us actually have worked together with local organizations as well. And one of the questions we ask a lot of times is, okay, so are you invested in, you know, engaging, for example, this particular school? And if so, why are you so invested? And really working towards figuring out, oh, okay, well, actually, I'm more invested in engaging the population who I think are easiest to get to at the school. But if that's something that's just not working for you, it's all about rethinking it. Well, where else is this population hanging out,
right.
you know, so I think that's very helpful. So thank you both for this conversation. There's so many more ideas and tips that I think that we could talk about. I'm going to encourage everybody to go ahead and put yours in the comments, and also to contact all of us. You can reach us at info@preventconnect.org, and we would be happy to talk to you further about this issue. Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission, or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.org.